This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
I want to thank you for coming out bright and early for our 9 a.m. first ever 9 a.m. service. So thank you for being here. Give yourself a big hand. Say thank you for being here. Yes. I really appreciate it. I'm starting a new series called The Power of Purpose. And I really, you know, have thought about where God wants us to be and how God wants to grow us. And I've done some evaluating over the years. And what I want to be more than anything is on purpose. I want to do what God has created me to do. And I want to live the way He wants me to live. And I know that finding your purpose sometimes is difficult. We struggle with understanding who we are and where we're from and how we're supposed to live. And those things are challenging for all of us. But God wants us to know why we're here. And He wants us to find His vision for our life. Finding God's vision for our life is different than us saying, this is what I want to be. This is who I want to be. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go here and I'm going to, you know, and the Bible says even in James, you shouldn't say that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You should say, if it is the Lord's will, because you make all these plans about what you're going to do and where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. And it's not up to you, because God is ultimately sovereign and it's His world and we're in it. I want you to read this statement with me. Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. I want you to think about that. Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. I've put that at the top of your bulletin if you're taking notes. I would encourage you to take notes throughout this series, because I really believe that if you'll take notes throughout this series, you can. I'm going to give you some very basic assignments, some stuff to do that will help you to discover your mission, why you're here, and what God wants you to do on this earth. And when you have a mission, you have clarity, you have direction, you have insight, you know where you're going. Like a road trip. If we're going to say, hey, let's go out to California and we're going to go to, you know, Huntington, California, we would need to map it out. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to get in the car and drive. You might end up in Canada. You might end up somewhere else. You'd have to map out where you're going to go, how you're going to get there, and how it's all going to be put together. And I believe that God has this plan for our life, that we need to map it out. We need to decide, where does God want us to go? First of all, understanding that it's what God wants and not what we want, and then we need to map it out so that we know exactly where we are and how we're going to get there. So let me start by asking you a couple of questions, and I want you to think about this honestly. How many of you would really like to have a growing, thriving, intimate relationship with God in 2016? I mean, just think about that. I'm not asking for a show of hands, it's all right. I just want you to think about this, all right? I want you to think, hopefully everybody wants that. So there shouldn't have to be a show of hands. It should be unanimous. Everybody should want that. How many of you would like to have a close, strong, intimate relationship with Christian brothers and sisters? Just really good, strong, secure relationships with others who are going in the same direction. How about a marriage that is solid and secure? How about children that fear the Lord, that love the Lord, that obey the Lord? How many of you would love to have that? To have an awesome family, incredible relationships. Well, I can make a promise to you. A real promise. That none of those things will happen on accident. They won't just happen. I mean, how about physically? How many of you in 2016 would say, I'd like to make some changes physically. I'd like to, you know, change, maybe lose 20 pounds, maybe, you know, 10 pounds, whatever. I'd like to be in great shape, you know. That if I was invited to a pool party, I'd actually go. I might show up, you know, because I'm not ashamed, or I might feel good about myself. But the same way, that doesn't happen on accident. Great marriages don't happen on accident. Unless you eat right, unless you change your diet, unless you seek God for His plan for your temple, the Holy Spirit that lives in you, you won't end up in good shape physically at all. Not when you're 40, 50, or 60. It's not going to happen. You have to do things to get where you want to be. You have to learn how to do those things. So I want to make you a promise that none of these things will happen on accident. None. They won't happen unless you plan, unless you pursue, unless you really seek God's plan for your life, for how to eat. I mean, if you want a healthy body, you have to seek God's plan for how you should eat and how you should live. Because if you don't do that, you won't be in good shape. You won't make the changes you need to make. I want to start with this verse, and this is kind of the theme verse for the series that you'll see throughout this series. It's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Say that with me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision is the Hebrew word kazon, and it means a dream, a revelation, or a vision. Where there is no vision for a godly family, one half of the families end up in divorce. Where there is no vision for a debt-free lifestyle, most people end up in debt. We can be the richest planet on the earth and be swallowed up by debt. When there's no vision for our bodies, you can desire a six-pack but end up with a keg. It's just how it is. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I can't think of a better time than to put your life on track, to get on purpose, than the beginning of a year. You know, it's a new opportunity. It's a brand new year. We have a chance to really lay out a path, a track, to make the changes that we want for ourselves. And I hope that this year you'll do that. That you'll start thinking about where you want to be at the end of this year, and where you want to be 5 years from now, and where you want to be 10 years from now, and start putting your life together in a place that you are glorifying God, honoring Him by being on purpose. Because if you invest your life in certain things, in certain places, in certain people, and then you stand before God, and He says, man, you did a great job, but you missed the target. I had this for you over here, and all you did was seek this and seek that and seek that. And yet, this is what I had for you. It's not going to be a good day. And I don't think any of us want to be there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You say, well, yeah, you know, so what if I wasted a day? Yeah, it's not bad. You waste a day, it's not a big deal. But if you waste enough days, it becomes a week. Yeah, okay, so what? I waste a week. I've got my whole life. Well, you waste enough weeks, it becomes a month. And then if you waste enough months, what happens? Then it becomes a year. And then you sit back and you realize that I've wasted years and my life is over. If you waste enough years, it equals your life. And it all starts with wasting a day. The journey of a million miles starts with one step. Everything starts with one step. You've got to make a step in the right direction, because without a vision, the people perish. And God wants us to have a vision for our lives. He wants us to have direction. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to uncover your core values, to understand what your core values are, and to uncover them, because God has wired you with core values. And we're not all the same. Even though we all have the same God, the same faith, the same Lord, we have core values that are wired inside of us. They're planted in our heart for certain reasons, for specific things that God wants to do in us, that God wants to use us for. And unless you can uncover these, you won't be able to stand for what you've been made for. One of the verses that I love that I look at all the time is, I see it on all Leandra's writings. She adopted this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and I love it, Leandra, that you use this verse. It says, our responsibility is to never oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. That's our job. And God has hardwired in all of us certain truths for certain things. And I'm going to argue that God personalizes those values in our lives, because we're all unique. Is there anybody who's exactly like you? No. Nobody is exactly like anyone else. We are unique because God designed us that way. And so I'll argue that God personally hardwires these truths, these core values in our hearts and in our lives. And I want to help you to understand that you have to define them. You have to define them. You have to put them on paper so that you know this is the way that God created me. Because these core values will help you to determine your direction. He put them in a heart, in your heart, for a reason. They're there because God wants to use these truths, these core values, these things that you can stand for and never waver. so that you're heading in the right direction. Now, we all know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, we've been saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast, verses 8 and 9. Then you come to verse 10, and Paul says, for we are God's workmanship. We are his work of art. God is creating in all of us. He's painting a masterpiece with your life. Now, right now, you might feel like somebody's just throwing stuff on your canvas because your life's chaotic. It's a wreck. And even though you feel like it's just being thrown together, it's not. Because God providentially is putting it all together, even when it feels hectic, even when it feels chaotic. Because we are, either you believe the word of God or you don't, we are God's workmanship. We are the word is poemia, his work of art. It's where we get the word poem from. We're his creation. Created in Christ Jesus to what? To do good works. You've got this job that God created for you to do. That only you can do. Nobody else can do it for you. Because you're unique. You have this unique job that God created you for. And God did what? Prepared it in advance for us to do. Look at the verse. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now you look through the Old Testament. There are people who had different values, different core values that they stood for. And you can see them as you read them and understand who they are. Like Samuel. Samuel was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he's a great biblical example of integrity. Samuel, at the end of his life, said, if I have wronged anyone, I'll correct it. He was saying at the end of his life, if I've done anything wrong, tell me, show me, and I'll make it right. I dare you to point it out. Find something wrong. And it was obvious from his life that he was a man of integrity. And it was a core value for him. He stood for integrity. He was upright. He confronted David, even though David was the king. He was a man of integrity, and he stood for it. And he wanted his life to be seen as a life that proclaimed what he believed. He lived it, and he preached it. Think about Solomon. Solomon was a great man. God said to Solomon in the Old Testament, hey, I'll give you whatever you want. Solomon didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for power. He said, give me wisdom. So I would say that's a core value, that his life stood for wisdom. All of his writings, you see wisdom as the supreme center of everything. Go through the Proverbs. It's all about wisdom because for him, that was his value. That was his core value. He was wired and he stood for wisdom. Think about David in the Old Testament. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a warrior. He was a man's man. And yet when you really look at his life, he was a man who stood for intimacy. David said, this one thing I desire, this is what I seek of the Lord, that I may dwell in his presence forever. He wanted intimacy with God. He wanted to be close to God. His core value was intimacy. You see, I think all of us, we have these core values. We have to discover them and find out what they are, because that helps us to see how God wired us and how God is directing us. We each have different core values. They don't have to be the same. We might have a bunch of the same values. And we should all have biblical values, right? We should all have, because we're Christ followers, these set of biblical values that we all believe in, that we all live for. But then there are these core values that kind of set us apart, that make us a little different. I mean, think about Mother Teresa. If you think about her core value, it would be compassion, right? She was the hands and feet of Jesus. She was always caring for the needy, always giving herself away. That would have been her core value. You think of the evangelist, Billy Graham. His core value would have been evangelism, right? I didn't agree with everything the man says, but his heart was pure for reaching people for Christ. I mean, he was always, come just as you are. Always pleading with people, come meet Jesus before it's too late. His core value was evangelism. So I'm saying that inside every one of us, we all have these core values. And we have to discover what they are and how God wired us. So you got to ask yourself, what is it that I stand for? What makes me really angry? What? Because you'll get angry about the things that you really, really value. So you start asking yourself, what is it that I stand for? What is the eternal truth that God has burned within my heart? And you start asking yourself these questions so that you can get to your specific core values. Throughout this series, I'm going to ask you to do some work. I am. I'm going to ask you and I'm going to challenge you to put some things on paper so that you can define your core values, so that you can define your direction, so that you can define your vision, so that you know where you're going. Because God has placed this custom-made blueprint of truth on your heart. And every one of us are different. And so the first thing I want you to do, assignment number one, is I want you to uncover the values that God has planted within you. And I want you to narrow them down till you get to the top two or three. And then I want you to come to that one core value that God has burned in you prayerfully, expectantly, looking to God to reveal these things that He has burned in your heart. Because they're there. Now, the way you do this, and I'm going to kind of give you a little example, is like you take a sheet of paper and you would say, okay, core value, a value, one that you really believe in. Like I wrote here, Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. That's a value for me, that everybody needs the Word of God, that the Word of God is life-changing. So you start at the top and you write your first value. And then you go to your second value, prayer. I believe that prayer is the only way that we can communicate with God. It's powerful. It changes our life. So that's my second value. And then you put your third value here. And then you put your fourth value here. You kind of get the point? Then your fifth value, your sixth value. And you just go back and forth until your page is full. Whether you come up with 8, 10, 15, 16 core values, doesn't matter. You get all your values. You start at the top, go to the bottom, top, bottom, top, bottom, until you got all your values in a list. Once you get all your values list out, then you have a tournament. That's right, you have a tournament. And you know how in tournaments they have brackets? Just like that. You take your first one and your second one. And then you take the next one and the next one. And you put them all in brackets. And then you say, okay, if this one is the Word of God and this one is spiritual disciplines, which one's more important to me? And you battle it out. You pray through it and you say, okay, which one's really more important? And that one moves to the winner's bracket. So it steps up. And then you go to the next two. And you put your core values there after you've listed them all. And you go all the way down till you find your top two core values. And then you prayerfully determine what your core value is by working through this. What really matters to me? What makes me angry? What motivates me? What moves me? That way you'll know this is the way God wired me. And it's going to take some time, but you've got to sit and you've got to spend the time to discover who you're supposed to be. And you've got to put these things together. The second assignment is going to take a little more work. You say, well, that's a lot of work already. No, it's not that bad. Trust me. Yearly, you should do this. Yearly, you should have a tournament with your values, with your direction. You should determine where you're going and you should challenge yourself and ask yourself, am I on purpose? Am I really on task? Am I doing what God created me to do? Because if you're not doing what God created, what are you doing? You're taking a long walk off a pier. Basically, what are you doing? If you're not doing what God created you to do, you're just taking a long walk at the end of a short pier. And it's not going to end good for you. Because you're just living your own life for your own purposes. And you're living a life that really ends up being meaningless. Because you do the same things over and over. You go to bed, you go to work, you get home, you watch TV. And it's like a cycle. And your life has no true meaning. You end up feeling like you're empty and you get depressed and you get discouraged because you keep running this, what they call the race. It's like a rat race because you're running this race and nothing is changing and you're just going through the motions. And really what's happening, you're existing. You're not living. You're existing because you have no true direction and no true purpose. The second assignment is I want to challenge you to uncover your core mission. Like what it is that God has put you on this earth for. What is the mission that God has given me to do? And you do the same thing. You go top, bottom, and you start writing out. There are actually three pages that you need to take. You need to have one for your core values. Second one for your core desires. What you would like to get out of life. And you just write a whole page, top, bottom, top. And then you bring them all down. And you compete. You have a tournament. Till you get to your core desire, your core value, and then your core mission. And the mission's the same way. This is what I enjoy doing. This is what I enjoy. What do you enjoy doing? Boom. And you just start at the top, go to the bottom, until you get all the things that you really enjoy out of life, the things that you want to accomplish, the things that you would love to see yourself get done. And then you narrow them down to what you're, and you can dream. Because without a vision, the people perish. You dream. This is what I'd love to see myself do in my life. Maybe I want to paint something. Maybe I want to write something. Maybe I want to be an author. Maybe I want, you know, whatever it is that God has burned in your heart. Dream about it. Take time. Write it out till you come up with all the things that you would like to do in your life. If you don't dream, you'll never accomplish anything. So you need to dream. And you need to work these things out till you come to your core value, your core mission, and your core purpose in life. Because these things will help give you direction. God uniquely equipped you. And I want you to hear me. If you don't hear anything else I say, you got to hear this. God put you at this moment in history, this moment, right here, for a purpose. Every one of us. We are here right now for a purpose. He could have caused you to be born 700 years ago. 500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, but he didn't. You were born in this time, at this generation, for his purpose. You are right here, right now, for his purpose. He has uniquely wired you and equipped you, designed you for this moment in history, so that you might, at this exact time, best reflect his glory. That you might best reflect his glory and his perfect will. He's worked it all together so that you would be born when you were born, so that you would grow up where you grew up, so that you would be where you are in your life right here, right now, all for a design and a purpose that you might best reflect his glory, his way. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has put it all together for his purpose? Not yours, not mine, but for his. It's all been wired. It's all been uniquely brought together. But you've got to participate. You can't just sit back for the ride and say, all right, God, yep. I mean, there's responsibility. We believe in the sovereignty of God, that he's all powerful over all things. We believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, right? We believe that. But we also believe in responsibility. God says, draw near to me. That's your responsibility, and I will draw near to you. God said, seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. These are things that we need to do. Jesus himself in Matthew 6 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have responsibility. So I'm asking you to start evaluating your core values, your core desires, and your core mission. Three sheets of paper, that's all. I want you to do that this week. I want you to evaluate. Come back with your core value. Come back with your core mission. Come back with your core desires. Look how David sums up, or what the author says about David and his generation. The Bible says in Acts 13:36, David served God's purpose in his generation, then he died. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, and then he was gone. I heard about this one guy who said, man, I'm never going to die. He said, because I know that God has a purpose for me, and I can't find it. So I'm never going to die until I find that purpose. I'm going to live forever. Look, that's an awesome message. How would you like to have that written on your tombstone? Leandra served God's purpose in her generation. And then she died. Satch served his purpose in his generation. And then he died. Man, that would be awesome to hear God say, man, you did exactly what I created you to do. You brought me glory. You see, you have to discover the unique mission that God has put you on. God's mission gives you focus. It gives you direction. At any moment when someone asks you to tell them what you're about, why you're here, you should be able to tell them, this is what I'm about and this is why I'm here. This is my life mission. If you can't verbalize what you're about and why you're here, then you're just kind of aimlessly floating around. We should all be able to, I mean, every business has a what? A mission statement, right? Every business and corporation knows that it has to operate off of a mission statement. Well, how come as individuals we don't operate off of a mission statement? Why don't we have our own personalized, this is who God has made me to be, and this is what God has called me to do, and this is my mission statement. I'd like you to come up with one. Once you look at your core values, once you evaluate your core mission, once you evaluate your core desires, the things that you would like to accomplish, 3 pages. Have a tournament. And every year you need to rework them to make sure you're staying on track. Because sometimes they change. Because God is doing different things in your life. But this will help you to figure out who you are and where you're going. It'll help you to understand God's plan for your life. Because without that, you're unprepared. And you're just going through life, not being prepared for eternity. And man, this life is just like this. It's like a vapor. It's here, it's gone. And it goes by so fast. In 10 days, I will be 52 years old. And I'm telling you, I remember standing up at this pulpit. I remember just preaching my heart out when I was 42. And then I remember when I was 32. I mean, it's just gone by so fast. I went from being in my early 20s to my 30s to my 40s to 50s. And before I know it, I'll be 60. And before I know it, I'll be standing before the Lord. Amen. And he'll be looking me in the face. And I believe he's going to say, Scott, you did what I created you to do. I do. I believe that right now, if I were to die on the way home, that I would die doing exactly what God created me to do, that I am on task. That I believe that I am living out the mission that God has called me to live. Now, about 10 years ago, I read this book called The On Purpose Person. I would encourage you. It's where I got the brackets from. This is where I learned how to evaluate and break it down. I mean, it's not exactly the same because this talks about which, you know, like your wants, all the wants that you want. But I don't believe in wants. I believe in core values and desires. But it's a good book. If you want to pick it up, I'll have it with me after the service. You can look at it. You can't take mine. But you can get one. I mean, it's a little tiny book. It's an easy read. I read it every couple of years. I just go through it just to make sure that I'm really living my life on purpose because everything has a purpose. Everything. And I want to be on purpose. I want to be on task. And so I will share the author with you. It's Kevin McCarthy. And I'll show you the book, how little it is. You can read it easily if you don't like big reads. But I would encourage you maybe to pick it up. To look at it, God has called every one of us, if you're his, on a mission. I love the way the Apostle Paul defines the mission he's on. Acts 20:24. I mean, listen how this sums it up. Listen how Paul captures his life mission. He just captures it. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Nothing. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Who gave him the task? The Lord Jesus. The task the Lord has given me. What's his task? To testify to the gospel of God's grace. His life is defined by his mission statement. What did Paul do? He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He started more churches than we can count. He preached the gospel day and night until they chopped off his head. That's how he lived and that's how he died. He died serving his king. But I guarantee you, he was on purpose. He knew why he was on this earth. He knew what he was doing. And he was living to please his king. So my question to you is, do you know? Do you know what your mission is? Do you know why you're on this earth? I mean, ultimately, the chief end of man is to bring glory to God, right? The chief end of man is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or whether you drink or all that you do, do it all to the glory. That's the chief end. But the way we bring glory to God is by living out our individual mission. We each have a mission. And so I want you this week to take 3 sheets of paper, to come to grips with your core values. Let them compete. It might take hours to you know this is what I'm, this is who I am, and this is the way I'm wired, because God burned it in my heart. And you got to ask yourself, what makes me angry? When people don't do this, what makes me, does it make me angry when people abuse the word of God? When people, because it does me. See, it's one of my core values, the word of God. So when people, when I listen to preachers who are not teaching the truth, man, it makes me angry. It burns. I just want to grab them by the throat and rip it out. I'm just being honest, right? I just want to be like, oh, how can you do that and lead people astray? And how can you twist God's truth? And how can you say this is what it means? And when that's not what the context says, it burns in me. Because it's part of my mission. Part of my life is to teach the word of God. So that burns and angers me when people abuse it and misuse it. And it bothers me when you guys, I can't say you guys because I don't know. But when people don't read the word, God has given us such a great gift as the word of God. And people don't take time to read their own Bibles. People are ignorant biblically. They don't know anything about the Bible. And that's sad. It saddens my heart. But you got to find out what your core value, your real core value and what your core mission is. And what those desires, because your mission and your desires and your personality all work together by the way God has wired you for that mission. He put you together for your mission. And I want you to be current on mission so that when you go home to meet Jesus, he'll look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you'll say, yes, Lord, it was all for you. Amen? It was all for you. Now, part of our mission is to reach people, right? I know we started 2 services now, and I really appreciate you coming out at 9. And I hope that you'll do that at least for the whole month of January, because people need people. If they're going to show up here, there have to be people here. So I'm really thankful that you're here, and maybe you'll continue at 9. If you want to go back to 10:45, that's up to you. But if you'll stay at least for the month of January, and if you'll reach out to people, invite people. We put out 2,500 door hangers this weekend, asking people, inviting people, letting them know that this is a good place. And everybody I talked to, I said, man, these are the greatest people. I'm talking about you guys. I am. These are the greatest people on the face of the earth. I said, they really are. These are great people. And, you know, I know that you are, because God has brought you and me together. He's brought us together to do his work. We're partners in ministry. That's why you're here. You're not here by chance. You're not here because something. You're here because we are to partner up for God's glory. That's why God brought us here. Now, Jesus, he was on mission. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he was here. He said, don't distract me with other things. I'm not worried about that. This is why I'm here. Listen, when you know your mission, you know what you need to be doing, and you also know what you don't have time to be doing. Listen to me. It'll clear up a lot of things for you. You always feel like you got so much to do. You can't get it all in. Well, knowing your mission will say, well, this is what I need to be doing, and this is what I don't need to be doing. I don't need to worry about that stuff, because that's not in my mission. It will eliminate your schedule. It will free you up, because you'll say, you know what? This is for my core value. This is for my core mission. This is what God has assigned me to do, and this stuff over here really doesn't matter. If I get to it, I will. But it's not my priority. So you keep your things that are your priority that keep you on task. And all the other stuff you just kind of put to the side. And you know what? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And you don't have to worry about it. You're free. Knowing your mission frees you up. So in order to be free, we need to discover our life mission. Remember, everyone ends up somewhere. The top of your bulletin, you might want to write this in. If you didn't write it in, you might want to write this in, put it on your mirror somewhere. Everyone ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. Be one of them. Be one of them that ends up somewhere on purpose. I am here in my life because I chose to be. Because I took God's design, his mission for my life, and I worked it in accordance with his will. And I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in my life. So how do we discover that? Where are you going to be in 5 years? Because they're going to fly by. Where are you going to be in 10 years? 20 years. Hopefully in heaven. Right? Where are you going to be? So how do we discover God's vision? Not my vision, not somebody else's vision. Because if you're a people pleaser, here's the problem with being a people pleaser. You live for everybody else's vision. See, when you're a people pleaser, you live for what everybody else wants you to be. Because you're so busy trying to please everybody else that you're living for their purposes in your life. You're not looking at God's design because you want to keep this person happy and that person happy. This will free you from being a people pleaser too. First thing you have to do is you have to make time with God. Listen to me. There can be no service, no direction without solitude. Solitude always comes before service. I say that all the time. And I'll say it for the rest of my life because it's the truth. If you don't spend time alone with God, you can't serve God. Not with any power. Because it's your own ability, it's your own strength, it's your own wisdom. It's not His. You got to spend hours alone with Him. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Get quiet. Listen to Him. Talk to Him. You need to plan that into your life daily. Just like you plan eating, right? You say, well, I'm going to eat at this time. I'm going to do this at this time. You need to plan when you're going to spend time with God. And that needs to be an appointment on your calendar. And then you need to keep that appointment. It needs to be the most important appointment you have all day long. I would make an appointment with God in the morning. And if you're just starting in your faith, I'd make an appointment with God at night. But if you really want to grow, I'd make an appointment with God in the morning. I'd make an appointment with God in the afternoon. And I'd make one in the evening. I'd spend at least 3 times a day with God. 20 to 30 minute appointment, 20 to 30 minute appointment, 20. Set an appointment from 7 to 7:30, 6 to 6:30, whatever. Set a time aside and then keep that appointment. Get up, get on your knees, get on your hands, pray, whatever. Sing to Him, love Him, read His word. Let Him speak to you. Be still and know that I am God. I mean, look at Jesus. He was God in the flesh. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left His house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. He's the Son of God. He knows all things. He still gets along with the Father. He makes an appointment with the Father, and He keeps it. Because He knows if I don't have time alone with God, I won't have energy. I won't have power. I won't have His presence. Without His presence, there's no power in your life. You want real power in your life, it comes from His presence. Being in His presence gives you power, gives you strength and courage to face your trials. The second thing is you seek His plan for your life. You got to give up just thinking about your plan. You know, I'm going to be this. I'm going to do that. I've got these dreams and those dreams. You got to seek His plan. Not what you think you were made to do, but start seeking His face and God, what is it that You created me for? Start memorizing some Proverbs, like Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, start talking to God about, God, what are Your plans for my life? Why did You create me? Why did I go through these experiences? How are You working these things together? And believe, just like God told Jeremiah. Now, most people claim this verse as a name it and claim it and a blab it and grab it. But the truth is that God does know what's best for you. Look at this. Proverbs 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, right? The Lord says, I know. Do you believe that God knows what's best for you? It's not a trick question. It's a yes or no. Let's try it again. Do you believe that God knows what's best for you? Okay. Me too. I believe that God knows what's best for me. Do you believe that He has plans for you? That He wants to use you right here in this generation? I do. I believe that every one of us has a purpose. And that God has a plan for us. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Man, God wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a future. And that's in finding direction. When you find true direction in your life, you know where you are and where you're going. You know that all things work together for good because He's shaping you and molding you for His purposes. Look, you've been through some experiences in your life that I haven't been through. But I've been through some experiences that you haven't been through. We've all been through different experiences, and they're there for His purposes. So He is uniquely wiring you and shaping you through your experiences, through your personality, through your past, through your gifts and your talents. He's putting you together for His glory. It's all for His glory. It really is. And His glory, man, it brings hope because you know that I'm living for the right thing, for the great thing. And the most important part of this is you have to put it on paper. Look, you make time with God, you make an appointment. And then when you're in your appointment time, you seek His face, you seek His plan for your life. And then you got to sit down and you got to write this stuff out. Most of you don't like to write. But you need to write this stuff out. You know why we don't like to write? Because we're lazy. Too much effort. Oh, I got to pick up a pen. And I got to actually write. Now we just talk into our phones. Tell so-and-so that I'll be there 20 minutes from now. You know, we don't even got to. We just talk. We're so lazy. We need to write out what we're going. Look, writing is important to God. It really is. Why do you think we have the Bible? Because He had people write it down and people copy it and keep it. Because it was important to Him. Jeremiah 32. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. I know technology is good. But technology is also bad. It keeps us from relationships, from interacting. It keeps us from knowing each other. It keeps us from writing. Man, kids today can't even write cursive anymore. They're not taught cursive anymore. They can't even sign checks. But then everybody says, well, who needs a check? Maybe you don't. I don't know. But it's just a crazy world. It's all changing so fast. But one thing is true. Look, God said to write for a reason. Because when you write, you retain. Hear me? When you write, you retain. I've memorized hundreds, if not thousands, of scriptures, right? I have. But you know how I memorize them? I write them out. I carry them with me. I always have a verse with me. Wherever I am, I didn't even have to think about it. That verse is there. I always have verses in my day timer, verses in my house, verses next to my chair where I sit and watch football. I have verses everywhere. I write them out and I keep them with me. So that when I have free moment, like a red light or a bank line or wherever I am, I meditate on the Word of God. I'm either listening to preaching, I'm praying, or I'm meditating. I'm not singing because I'm not very good at that. But sometimes I do sing. I have to be honest with you. I do sing to the Lord. Nobody else likes it, but I like it. And I think He likes it. At least He hasn't told me otherwise. Right? I think He likes it because the Bible says to make a joyful noise. And I'm good at making noise to Jesus. And I love it. So God says to write it down. Exodus 17:14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be what? Remembered. And make sure that Joshua hears it. When you write it down, you remember it. It helps you. So you got to get alone with God. You got to get a pad. Get a journal this year. And start talking about His plan for your life. Not your plan. For His life. Like, God, I need you to do this. God, can you do that for me? God, I need this. I need a new car. God, I'm broken. Fix me. No. God, what is it that you want from me? Why did you allow me to go through this? I'm broken for a reason. There's ways that you want to put me together. You want to use me for your glory. So show me. Reveal your ways to me. And as you study His word, and as you seek His face, and as you discover your core values, your desires, and your mission, they all work together. I love this last passage that I'm going to close with, because this was important to God. This was God's mission for Israel. And it was so important that this is what He said. He said, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. This was so important that God stood before all of Israel and said, this is what we got to do. Put this stuff in your heart. Well, how do you get it in your heart? How do you get this stuff? How do you get it in your heart? I mean, I'm sure that's what they're thinking. Well, how do I get this in my heart? David said, I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. He also said, how does a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. So you're asking, well, how do you get this in your heart? How does it become a part of our lives so that we really understand it and know it? Well, first of all, you learn to share it. When you're sharing God's truth, it becomes a part of you because it's flowing out of you. Hear me. You take God's word, you put it in, you meditate on it, you begin to think about it, you seek to live it, and then you share it. And as you share it, it enmeshes with who you are, with your person. Because look what God goes on to say. And this is how I know it's true. This is what God says, not what Scott says. Impress them, these are God's truths, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down. And when you get up, that's pretty much every time. When you're lying down, when you're getting up, when you're walking down the road, when you're sitting at the table, whenever you're doing, you should be sharing these truths with the world around you. Starting where? At home. With your children and your spouse and your family. Starting at home. And then he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Now, it's not literal to tie this stuff on your hands, but he's like, always be working with it. Always be thinking about it. Have it on your mind. That's your forehead. Always keep it on your mind because it's that important. And then the last thing God says is write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Why the door frames? Because whether you're coming or going, whether you're leaving the city or coming out, whether you're leaving your yard, you'll see them. You'll remember that this is your purpose. Look, this series will help you if you apply the, I promise you, because it's helped me to be on purpose for the last 10 years of my life. I know that. I know that I'm right where God wants me to be, and I'm on purpose. And I want you to find purpose and direction in your life because that will bring glory and honor to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for bringing us to this place today, God. I pray that you would encourage our hearts, that you would teach us through your word. God, that you would be glorified and exalted in us and through us. Lord, I pray that you would take these principles and these truths and you would burn them in our hearts and that we would share them with all of our friends, with all of our family members this week, that we would share these truths that you've revealed to us. God, that we would discover our own core values, the one that really distinguishes us and sets us apart from everybody else. That we would understand why you planted the desires that you've planted in our hearts because they're all different. But they go along with our value and our mission in life. So I pray that you would help us to define who we are and where we're headed. And that we would learn to bring glory to you by living out your vision for our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.